I'm Dan Orlovsky. When I'm looking for safety, I always take the extra steps and listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4 minute 40, Chris and Case.
Hey, Idaho Lions fans, welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast, episode 250. 250, that's a lot. Wow. This is official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I'm your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, brother?
Well, I'm good now, Chris. I was gone for so long. I got stuck under my mattress for like 3 weeks.
Wow. Okay. in today's show, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to take a first look at free agency. We're going to take a look at the Lions' new defensive coordinator. We're going to set up our Senior Bowl coverage and a whole heck of a lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, are you ready to go, my man?
I mean, I was just moving it, and my roommate thought I was at work. My work thought I was on vacation. You just thought I was derelict of duty. Nobody bothered to check under the mattress.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
Nobody bothered to check under the mattress. It's all, it always gets you. Okay, a couple of quick announcements first. Check us out. Help us out.
Check under the mattress, people. Check. Anytime somebody goes missing.
On the Patreon, special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
That's right, Guam.
And of course, I've been building that up.
Very first donor, Mathis and Brian Burkheiser from iPrevailBand.com. Check them out. They're extending the tour. There's things to come. Come check them out. You can join the Patreon crew, all those guys, Case, Riz, me, a bunch of other cool people. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast. And as little as $1 a month will get you into the Slack. You can always get more. And we definitely, definitely appreciate those who dig a little deeper and help us out with that a little bit. But we have a great Slack chat, the most intelligent Lions
this
chat.
This guy needs a and I'm going to find him and just give him a big
Hey, Tom, thank you very much. Those on YouTube can see.
I can't see.
I know you can't. You're not on YouTube. We just had a when somebody subscribes when we're on broadcasting, it shows up with Matt Stafford playing the guitar.
Oh, right. I remember.
Sorry, I mean, I can't make it so you can hear it, but it's actually pretty funny. Anyway, yeah, get in, just like Tim did. Tim just now joined us and get access to the Slack channel, the pregame stuff, and all kinds of cool chat. You guys get to hear about things that others don't, and before everybody else does it, that is a good time. Also, give us a like on Facebook, Instagram, all those places. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Don't forget The Detroit Lions Podcast. And on Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word. Lastly, we are available on the Tweet Machine, Twitter, at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see the Case Master.
Ooh, with no pants on.
And if you can crawl out from under the mattress, subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions podcast. You're going to want that, especially during Senior Bowl week. We are going to be going live a lot. It won't necessarily all be scheduled. And we've got some really big interviews that you guys are going to want to hear. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you pick us up. Also, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, all those places. We love those 5-star reviews. Yeah, it's one of those. Those make us feel good and help us keep doing our thing. If you have any constructive criticism, we're more than willing to take that. Head on over to the subreddit and fill us in there. We can have a great conversation on what we could change to make it better for you. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, or call us in the Lion Line. Lions Line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Whew, man. Leave us a message. You get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
What a crazy, crazy night it has been. I got to tell you, Case and I were supposed to start about 3 hours ago. And I needed a little nap. Case decided he's going to take a little nap. My alarm worked. His didn't.
Mine didn't. I showed you the screenshot of my phone. I have no idea why it didn't go off. It actually is like, as soon as we get done, I need to test it and make sure it's functional.
So you're there at the real job, right? When it's time, right? All right. So we're Case is full of energy right now, so we're going to let him drive the truck up a little bit. We're going to kick off the show with Case's look at free agency. We call it a deep dive into the shallow end. Mm-hmm. With Case. And we'll do that. Good stuff going on in the chat, but I don't want to interrupt Case's insights here. So let's talk about free agency. I think this is a good topic for us here. Heading ahead of the Senior Bowl, we've got a lot of draft coverage coming up, and it felt like it was the right time just to touch on free agency, set the table, get some talk going on there, get our thinking going. That happens ahead of the draft, of course, and it's going to affect our draft. So let's get into it, man. And we'll start interviewing with or interacting with you guys in the chat really quick here, and take your phone calls shortly. As soon as we're done with the free agency thing, we'll open up the lines for phone calls. Okay, Case, let's go. Deep dive into the shallow end with a broken cervical. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
You all know that if you've been listening, that I love free agency. It might be my favorite part of the offseason. I mean, the draft is great. The draft is a lot of fun, and the draft is the future. But the difference with free agency is that you're trading in more of known territory as opposed to the unknown of rookies.
Interesting. I always feel like you have a track record, but it's still you're paying a lot of money for guys.
Yes,
that often aren't worth all that money.
That's true. A lot. There is a lot of paying for the outlier. I'm not suggesting otherwise. It's just that compared to rookies, who are seemingly a total crapshoot.
Right, right.
You're at least trading in what is at the best, the closest you can get to known commodities in free agency.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you're overpaying for them a lot of the time, at least you theoretically know what you're getting. Now, obviously, that doesn't always pan out. And a lot happens, you know, with injuries and guys not meshing with new teams. But you get my point, mm-hmm. nonetheless.
Right, girls, calm down.
Don't say you get my point and ask the girls to calm down. Leave that alone. Just move on and talk about free agents, please. God, we have football fans here. They don't want to hear about this stuff.
Jeez, oh my. So I love free agency for that reason. And we will continue to talk about free agency right up until the time it happens. And as we get closer, we'll know a lot more things. We'll know what players are going to get re-signed. We'll know lots of players will get cut who are then available. So a lot of things will change in terms of who's available, and we'll start to get an idea of what the price tags on these players might be. A lot of things that we don't necessarily have a firm grasp on at the moment. So we called it a deep dive into the shallow end just because it's tough to know everything about it right now.
Right.
I can only take, you know, an overview of the situation as it stands right now. Now, having said that, okay, so there's a few areas of need on this defense. We did a really good job in picking up Trey Flowers last year, and I would fight anybody who says different. Not literally fisticuffs, just verbal sparring. I'm not trying to go down that road. I'm kind of a little guy. But
you're just a little fella.
But we still have a great need at pass rush opposite him, and even at depth. And that, to me, when I look through this group this year, is the strength. And the funny thing is, when I first initially looked at the list, it was like 3-4 outside linebacker, 3-4 outside linebacker, a few defensive ends thrown in, but linebacker, 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 linebacker. And I was getting all like juiced up, like, man, linebacker is our biggest area of need. This is a great year for us to fix that. It's not a great year for us to fix our linebacker problem.
Not in free agency, at least, right?
No, not in free agency, at least. There is a dude in the draft that may have been talked about as a potential there. I don't know what you guys talked about, without me.
Nothing. I was nothing. We didn't talk about anything. Just pretend like nothing happened. You've been here the whole time. Don't
anyway,
tell them anybody.
But when you actually look at the players that are available at the linebacker, the theoretical 3-4 linebacker, it's like Jadeveon Clowney and Dante Fowler Jr. and Shaq Barrett and Bud Dupree and Matthew Judon. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt you, but again, I got a pronunciation guide, a name pronunciation guide for all the draft people here. So I will get that to you. And you will be ready to fly, my friend.
Well, and then there's Yannick. I'm just going to say Yannick from Jacksonville and leave it at that. you've got defensive ends as well, and Chris Jones and Arik Armstead. And Leonard Williams and Jesus, I'm just going down this list and all these names that we know. Hey, fucking Kyle Van Noy is in there, who is listed as a 4-3 defensive end, which is an interesting way to list him. But nonetheless, Robert Quinn and Shelby Harris, you've just got this incredible long list of pass rushers. Now, what logic would dictate in a normal economic system, you'll like this, Chris, is, you know, the when the supply is that high, demand would be low, and that would
keep
that
talking.
Would yeah
keep I, talking. I,
we're getting there we're getting there we're getting there
I missed you.
I'm just teasing right now.
oh man. Okay.
In theory, in a normal economic system, that would mean, you know, it would drive the price down. Mm-hmm. The NFL doesn't always work that way. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Because one guy will set a new, you know, bar. And then every other guy who signs after him will go slightly above that bar. It's a real messed up system in terms of like from an economic standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. But I've fallen into this trap a few too many times believe that.
The faulty part about trying to apply economics, or the thing that where most economic theory falls down, is that people are supposed to be rational. That's kind of one of the foundational principles, and in many cases people aren't rational, and a lot of, you know, different businesses
especially
rely
in this
on
small
that.
Of a in this small of a, you know,
that's right,
situation.
And I get a chance to use it here. Ready? A lot of teams, they
get what you fucking deserve.
Sorry, I love my Joker drop. They wind up getting what they deserve because they did not think about this from an economics perspective, or they're on an all-in kind of thing, or they're doing something. Right. And unfortunately, when people are taking that top talent, often they are running an all-in year, and they're distorting the market for everybody else, and that causes problems. And that's
so that will be interesting to see exactly how that happens. But I mean, with that huge long list of names, and that's not everybody who's available. That's just like that's like the top, you know, 12, 15 guys at as edge position guys. But it does what it does at very least, even if it sets up in a situation where we'd have to overpay somebody to bring them in, we can do that. And there's likely to be at least a few of those guys available to us. And it gives the flexibility of finding the guy who fits, who isn't necessarily the top paid guy in that group, but who fits the best. And the other benefit of this year's grouping is that so many of these guys are young. Jadeveon Clowney is 27. Yannick is 25. Chris Jones is 27. So we're looking at guys who you could sign. We've got Arik Armstead and Dante Fowler at 26. Shaq Barrett and Bud Dupree are 27. We've got a group of guys that if you can figure out which one of those guys you want, you can overpay them, but also give them a long extended contract and set yourself up. So even, you know, if you want a really good player in free agency, you're going to have to overpay. That's just, you know, more often than not.
And part of the problem here with all that is the idea that you've got a CBA that's going to change.
Right.
And if you think about it, rookie contracts were the place that the Lions got hosed the last CBA. We had Calvin and we had Matthew. Stafford on the rookie contracts, and the, and everything changed, and it was just this giant burden on us on the cap side. You got to start thinking about, could that happen in the free agent space? Could that happen somewhere else? We know the cap's going to go up. I guarantee the cap goes up exponentially. I don't want to say exponentially because that's overstating, but it's going to go up a significant amount more than it has in, historically, I think, as part of the CBA.
So would it make sense to overpay somebody right now
versus later, right? I mean, there's, right, there's math on that you have to do. It's this whole CBA thing really, really janks up the free agent market. And then it does something else. We talked about this in the Patreon Slack. The June 1st designation, that it goes, mm-hmm, away, where you can split the cap loss over 2 years instead of over one, for a player. It, you eat it all now. There's no June 1st, if I said January, sorry, June 1st designation that gives you a little bit of a break on the cap piece. So really, really interesting, and it's a different kind of calculus for GMs this year, and then the unknown of what the CBA might bring.
Okay, so let's move on to another position of need. Potentially, this isn't a huge need, but and as much as he was very impressive this last year, Danny Amendola is an old dude.
Yeah, I really loved him this year. He was so much more than we ever thought.
I think we could probably ride him for another year in that position if that's what they want to do, but it's...
What position?
whichever one. In the slot, baby.
this is terrible. We were off the rails from the beginning. You got too much sleep.
there's one guy out there who I had considered a possibility as a long-term option for the slot. And that is Randall Cobb. If he's 30, which doesn't make him young, but it would be several years younger. He has shown a lot of talent in the slot throughout his career.
A lot of passion this last year. He's played really well there in Dallas. And
if we were looking for a more long-term situation, I'm not saying long-term, mm-hmm, but like if we wanted to send another out a 2-3 year contract, as opposed to just hoping for the best with Amendola, you know, and his age.
What about
Cobb is an option.
What about his injury history, though?
I mean, it's relatively extensive, but he played. I think in recent years he's been a little more consistent. Let me double check, because okay. I'm just pulling this thought out of my ass right now. But
it's better than a mattress. I could be, you know, my recollection is that he's had an injury history that's been a little bit of a problem.
It's been. But he's only had 1 year in the past six seasons where he missed more than three games.
Okay, that's good. Better than I was thinking. I worry if you have a guy with an injury history.
No, over 30, I totally get that.
It feels like a Band-Aid. And even as well as Amendola performed this year, right? I would feel like I would be okay signing him again, but I wouldn't count on him being a number three or maybe even a number four. Right. If that's the team I'm putting together. And I feel a little bit the same way with Cobb. Cobb's a known quantity. He can catch a ball. That's great. But he's aging. I worry if we build a team expecting him to be there, we wind up with him not there and a gaping hole that we need to fill. That's the only thinking. That's the hard part about these older guys in free agency. And it's one of the things you have to think about. Right. I mean, he looked great this year in Dallas. He'd made some crucial catches for them this year. And was a good outlet for Dak at certain points. But does he still have it? And will he bring it to Detroit? Oh, God, I don't know.
Speaking of gaping holes, one of the other issues the Lions have is defensive tackle. And I don't know that they're going to be able to do much in terms of starters this year. Mm-hmm. We would hope for a rebound from Damon Harrison. We would hope for a rebound from A'shaun Robinson, unless Damon Harrison decides to call it quits. Mm-hmm. But if we're looking, if they're looking to add a starter quality player, they're probably not going to be able to do it through free agency. There's only a couple guys available, and I'm not 100% sure if these guys are even scheme fits, but DJ Reader and Javon Hargrave are really the only guys out there. But that having said that, there's a couple old guys. There's Gerald McCoy and Ndamukong Suh. I think that would probably be unlikely.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a good. As much as old Sue was great, and but he had his baggage, I just don't think he's going to bring it.
Right.
I think he's
right.
always been a business decision player,
right.
and I think his new business decision where you land yeah. is going to be, I'm just kept collecting my last contract. I'm going to play, but I'm not going to hurt myself doing it. I've got a you life to live after.
Right. You do have a few players that if they want to, if they were more focused on bringing in depth, the Andrew Billings, Quentin Jefferson, Michael Pierce, Malik Collins. So, I mean, there are a few options out there if they're just trying to bring in a rotational piece, because, you know, that has also been a problem for them. The starters and the rotation have not been, you know, living up. So you gotta fix both things. You can't just fix the starters and hope that the rotation fixes itself.
Right.
So it wouldn't surprise me to see them make a move there for depth. They do, you know, and Mike Daniels is an option still, and he said he wants to come back to Detroit. You'd have to assume that if they brought him back, it would be on a bare bones contract, you know, not putting a lot of faith in him actually being available.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, there's that.
All right. Let me really quick walk through some of the stuff going on in the chat on the YouTube yep. there. For the folks that are listening audio, I apologize, but this is still fun. You have to take part in this by just listening. Joe B made me laugh. He said, "Casey, you have the perfect setup for a 70s porno. All you need is the mustache." And he very recently had that. I have to tell you.
It went away recently.
The background. Yeah. It's over there. Yeah. Sorry. The background screen, Jeremy is going to be for us at the Senior Bowl. Just got it. It's a pretty cool thing. I think it's cool.
It's pretty blurry. I don't.
Yeah, there's. I'm doing this.
That's
whole...
Chewbacca on my end. That's Chewbacca and a didgeridoo, right there. Okay. Right there. That's a didgeridoo.
So there's a difference in the camera quality. I'm doing some depth of field stuff. That's why it's super blurry on mine.
See all of your pores.
I know. Don't fall
kidding.
In. Don't
I'm
fall
just
in.
Kidding.
We're working. We're upgrading some of our stuff along the way. But Case is literally, they couldn't make a short enough bus for him when it comes to technology. So we try it out here first, and then we send it out to the field. So we'll work on that. What else do we have here? A couple things. Re-up Kristen Jones for 10 more years. That's obviously ideal for the team. Replace Davis with a department store mannequin. That's a good idea. Thank you, Sweden88. A couple chats about the Joker. I'll tell you guys really quick. I know that's not super football stuff, and we'll pop back in from there. It's an absolutely fabulous movie. I don't know if you
I've
saw
heard,
it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Absolutely fabulous.
Good things.
People paint political stuff onto it, but I think it's really a tabula rasa. You're painting your political thinking
right.
onto it. It's not really telling a political story. It's not like any of the Cape movies. I enjoy the campy action kind of Marvel and and DC movies, the superhero movies. I wouldn't say this is a superhero movie at all. And the other thing about it was it's a movie that... it is completely different. You know, so many movies these days have a 3 or 4 or whatever after them, you know, Toy Story 4, all that kind of crap. This is absolutely unique, completely different. And if you let yourself kind of fall into the character, there's some real points in the movie where I've never seen anything like it, where a character has this realization and shift of their own space in the world. It's an amazing movie. Very, very, very good movie. Very, very good. For a movie, and I would, like I said, I wouldn't call it any of the Kate movies. It's just a really, really good movie. So there you go. It's dark,
right.
Dark as hell, though.
Well, now that we've gotten that out of our system,
sorry,
I've got
movie phone.
I've got one more position to talk about. And this is a position that might be a need. The degree to which this is a need depends so much on what the Lions decide to do with Darius Slay.
I've heard of that guy. He plays for the team still, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he plays with the team in the future.
The bullshit.
But okay, so there are two guys in free agency who could potentially be signed if they're not, you know, tagged or re-signed, which is highly likely for one or both of them. And that is Byron Jones, who is going to probably get a bank breaker type contract, the 27-year-old cornerback out of Dallas, and Bradbury. James Bradberry out of Carolina, who had had a bit of an understated season, but is also a young man. He is also only 27 years old. He would be the more, in theory, the way I would think about it right now, he would be a more affordable option, but also quality number one. He's not going to be the best in the league necessarily, but his star is firmly in the right direction right now. So if they were to leave off with Darius Slay and just say, you know, we get it, you're less than, you know, enthused right now, go ahead and save us some money. They could put that money then towards signing James Bradberry or Byron Jones. Once again, that'll probably look silly that I said that in, you know, a month or two when both those guys are re-signed or tagged or
whatever. That's why it's a deep dive into the shallow end. Right. My thing about Slay, and it's a complicated situation. It's complicated, right? Number one, I think Slay, he didn't necessarily have an off year, but he didn't have a Slay year. And the holdout, I think, hurt him, his stock, just amongst teams, right? And because a little diva a bit, you know, how is he going to be to deal with? You got Amani Arawarie. See that?
Which is a big part of the equation, is how they feel about him.
Right. He's growing. We saw some good stuff out of him. His offseason is going to be really imperative to see what happens there. But this is just one scenario, the Okuda pick, right? If you get a guy like that who, I know he's a first-year cornerback, but you already have a couple guys on the team right now that can carry you through this year. You'll have Slay playing for a contract, right? Which he's right around that spot. Ash was talking about it in the Slack. He's right around that spot. It's about 18 months after running backs fall off is where the cornerbacks fall off. And either they have to move to safety or they become a shell of what they were. Rasheen Mathis is obviously a Superman who didn't experience that as much. But you can keep Slay around and you can use Slay this year. He wants to show well in the locker room. He wants to show well in the field because he's in a contract year. Even if he goes somewhere else, you're training up two guys. You'd have Arawarie in his third year, and then you'd have Okuda in his second year if you played through with Slay this year. They'd both have kind of tutored under him, right? Kind of might be in a good place at cornerback if you let him go. You've got time to evaluate this year and see how things go. And frankly, the way the cap is and with the CBA, I don't think I mind letting Slay go and test the market and see what his value is. And then if we have to pay him, we pay him. Right. I don't mind paying Slay if he does ball out this year and show his value. I love the guy, right?
Kind of
an off field way, a non like business kind of way. Absolutely love the guy. He lives his best life 100% of the time. I'm just impressed as hell by this dude. But he's got a real chance to show himself to the league what he can be this year and what he's worth in a contract. And I don't mind paying market rate for that to keep him. But we also have, if we take the Okuda pick at 3 or 5 or wherever things wind up, right? I can see that working out pretty well for us. So I think we have a couple levers to pull as a team via either free agency or the draft and internal growth to see how this team can build out and show out at the cornerback position. But I feel really, really good how we are.
No, I completely agree. Since I alluded to it, and I don't know what you guys have talked about as far as draft is concerned, the guy I was talking about was Isaiah Simmons. He's the safety / linebacker out of wherever he's out of. I don't remember. he's an early guy to look at as a possible riser in the draft because his stock is currently going up. To the point where he might be considered worthy of that number two pick by the time things come around. And that would be a situation where we are trying to then both take best player available and fix the biggest problem on the team simultaneously. Sure. So sure. That's just worth putting a nugget in your brain. I'm not advocating necessarily for him or against him or for Okuda or anybody at this point. I don't have a favorite yet. Just if you're not familiar with him, take a look. He flies around the field.
Yeah. So good question from Joe. Do you think the Lions already made him an offer and it wasn't good enough? I think, and this is without information, and this is pure speculation, but I think based on the holdout, they basically, the conversation was Slay saying, this is what I think I'm worth and what I want to play for. And the Lions probably said, okay, we'll see, right? We're not saying no, but we're not going to do it 2 years early. I basically, you know, a lot more words than that, I'm sure, happened, but I imagine that that's what the conversation was.
That was a very tall ask.
Yeah. I'm certain it was, right? And you know, he the season happened, the team had happened when it happened. You know,
I don't think he's gotten more expensive for the team, so I do think it's... Even if they were to re-sign him, I don't think his price tag has gone up based on his last 2 years of performance. So,
and whether you love or hate or are indifferent about what happened with Diggs this year, Slay's reaction there probably didn't help him in that whole negotiation, right? I'm just he cleaned it up in the end, I think. But I think, you know, these are young guys in many cases, so I don't think he helped himself at least with that. So, I think they probably all know what the target is right now, and they're all going to make decisions at the right time. And I don't think that was the right time to make those decisions. So yeah. We'll see. Enjoy. I can't give you more. I was talking to Slay through one of his guys. I was trying to help him with something though, with a technical issue he had, and we'll see if they want to get that fixed or not. But it's interesting. I'd love to talk to him a little more and get some insight. Like I said, guy lives his best life. He's a lot of fun to watch and follow. Love to keep him in Detroit. Love to make him a Detroiter. You know what I mean? But we'll have to see. We'll have to see how this plays out. I think the Lions will handle this better than they handled the Glasgow situation. But I think there's something we all don't know about what happened with Graham Glasgow and what's happening there. Yeah.
I would agree with that.
My hope is he said, look, I want this. And they thought it was too high. And then it kind of stalled the conversation. And they just said the same kind of a thing. Let's just let him test the market. And if we have to pay for him a reasonable amount, we'll keep him. But I think there's options to see what happens. So we'll see how that goes. Okay, was there anyone else that you wanted to cover, Slay? On the,
well, you know, there you bring up Graham Glasgow. There are a few guards available this year.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, you could let him walk and pick up a guy. There is a rather precipitous drop off from after the first few guys, and then to Glasgow, or excuse me, and then beyond Glasgow. There's not much there, so it is a tough position for the team to be in, and even if there's a little bit of like going on from Glasgow in terms of whether or not he wants to be in Detroit, you hopefully, if they decide they really need him, spend the money and that cures all the ails, you know, in it, you'd hope so. I would prefer to see the team make that a priority, just because there's not a lot out there. I'm looking.
Go ahead. It's okay.
Scherf, Brandon Scherf.
Yeah.
And that would be a great option.
At the right price.
Right. At the right price. And you could sign him long term, but that would be, you know, a case where we could afford one really big free agent situation.
And I'll say that just where our numbers are, we could pay a little bit of the wrong price for a couple people, mm-hmm. actually. Not massively overpaid, but a little bit right. wrong, because we're in a decent position. I'd hate to be where the Vikings are.
We're about average in the league in terms of cap.
The Vikings have completely...
We're well above the rest of the division.
Except the Packers are right. They're in a good shape, yeah. unfortunately. But you look where the Vikings are, right? They're completely hosed, and they've peaked, man.
Yeah. I told you, you know, the last offseason that both the Vikings and the Bears went all in.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm. And I don't think, I'll be frank, I don't think that's the way to fly the plane, but hey, I'm not.
Well, I don't necessarily agree, because I think the Vikings were in a spot where either you could just tread water or you can really go for it. And I can't necessarily blame them for trying to really go for it. It didn't work out for them. But they took their shot, and I don't necessarily hold that against teams when they take their shot when they're in position to do so.
I didn't think they were in position, and I don't think signing Kirk Cousins put them in position.
But I mean, that offense was not really the problem most of the year this year.
I don't feel like the defense was either. I think the offense was where their weakness was. Once they figured it out, that train was murderers row.
I don't know, man. Watch some of their games in the second half of the season. That offense was clicking.
Yeah. Like, no, there's a couple games, right, where they would not necessarily rely on just the play action, and when they would use the run, there was good stuff there. But I think there was.
I'm not suggesting that I think the Kirk Cousins thing was a brilliant move or anything like that. But I also am not sure they had a better option.
That is absolutely fair. Okay. All right. So we're going to move on from free agency now. And we're going to remind you that everything you need in life is available from Amazon. Everything except the free agents. And all you got to do is go to amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. It'll send you right to the site. It won't stop you off anywhere or throw any crazy blinking, flashing seizure ads at you. No. It takes you right there. Just sets a little cookie. Lets Amazon know that we sent you there. And they say, well, those guys are cool. They're cooler than Bezos. Let's give them a little bit of the Amazon profit. Let's kick back a little money to the podcast and help them do some more great stuff. It's literally what they say at Amazon HQ. So amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. Use that to go do your Amazon purchases and help out the show by doing something you're going to do anyway. Thank you all for doing that along the way. And don't forget, you know, you keep doing that. Just keep doing it. We love you. We love you for doing that. All right, let's talk a little bit about the coaching staff. And I think the biggest one to announce is it looks like we've retained our quarterback coach, Sean Ryan. He will not be leaving after all. That's good news, right?
Yeah, I mean, truth be told,
he's a big talent.
It's one of those things where you don't really, you know, you don't hear about those guys, the positional coaches, very much on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah.
We only ever really hear about them when there's somebody has something negative to say. And there has been nothing negative said about Ryan at this point. So
no, and there's a lot of really good stuff actually being said by folks who know more about the positional coaches than I do about Ryan and how much of a loss he would be. He is very well regarded in the league. He was definitely up for promotion. And while I feel bad for him, Sean Ryan, the man, not being able I feel good for Detroit Lions, the team, for being able to hold on to him and keep him in the organization, because some of that talent and that capability is going to be very good at helping folks and other coaches grow. So that's a good one. He stays with the Lions. We got Sean Ryan. And just so folks know, he is on our list for interviews at the Senior Bowl. So we will go a little deeper with him. I also got to say something else. We have a call right now. I'm going to make a guess because I think I know who this is. Is this Brandon, who has had nothing to drink so far tonight?
That's right.
How were the Pals and Pistons game? Did we win or lose? I saw you talking about it. I didn't see what the final was.
Took them down by 13 points in Boston, man.
Wow.
Best game they probably have ever played all year. It's really outrageous because they're getting down, and I thought, uh-oh, there they go. You know, they're going to lose this one for sure. And some of the other guys was noticing it, watching the game too, and in the chat. And I thought, I can't believe it. I think they may pull this out. They sure did.
And then they stuck it
Celtic
in.
Celtic fans are not too happy. Marcus Smart got so upset with Derrick Rose, he hard fouled him, got tossed.
That's awesome. So Brandon, I know you're here to talk about Sean Ryan, and then you want to apologize to me and the rest of the Detroit Lions podcast fans for not coming to the Senior Bowl, right?
Yeah. There you go.
So what is on your mind?
Well, I tell you what, the biggest news out of Detroit isn't the coaching hirings, and it isn't who they might get, who they might not get. It's who wound up going in the Hall of Fame. How about that guy?
Oh, we have that on the. I'll move it up the docket. I'll move it on up. That's a good one. Alex Karras, most deserving Lions player right now, who's not in the Hall of Fame, to finally get in, right?
50 plus years, man. And it's just too bad that he passed away 7 years ago, and he was suffering from dementia anyway. So even it'd been better if it was 10 years ago, but it is what it is, I guess.
So
at least he got in. There was a lot of very upset Raiders fans, a few Atlanta Falcons fans is hoping for Tommy Novus.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of 49er fans mentioning Roger Craig got aced out. He didn't make it either. And it just, man, I was sweating it. They kept on filtering out the announcements this morning. And so I think he's going to get passed up again. And sure shooting about the seventh one out of 10, he got announced.
So let me just put something out here. Okay. I'm not superstitious, but I'm going to add to the numerology conspiracy piece here. And oh, wait, I have music for this. Hold on. Okay. Now, Alex Karras came to the Lions in 1958 as a first round pick. Does anybody remember the last time we won the championship in the NFL?
Oh, yeah.
1958.
It was 58 we won the championship for the 57th season, right?
Oh, I want to see.
This could be the thing that changes it all over. Right. Are we there? Is everyone with me?
See, I'm just more familiar. I'm much more familiar with him for playing Mongo in Blazing Saddles than I am with his Detroit Lions career. So,
you're not with me with the conspiracy kind of lunacy. I got your horoscope next, Brandon.
There you go. Listen, I tell you what though, there is some film of him on YouTube and in some older games.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell what kind of an outrageous defense they had back then. Their offense was nothing to carry on about. It was really middle of the road, if not worse.
Mm-hmm.
But their defense was just outstanding. Green Bay hated to play us.
Yeah.
I mean, Lombardi is famous for saying, "When are you going to quit sending me to Detroit on Thanksgiving Day? I'm getting sick and tired of it."
Well,
the NFL.
You know, it's crappy that the NFL didn't record sacks until like the early 80s, but they did a lot of research on this, and they think that Karras had between 100 and 110 career sacks. That's crazy numbers. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. Hey, I looked that up one time. A guy who actually did that study, I mean, he looked at every film he could find, and of course it's unofficial,
mm-hmm.
but from what the number I saw was 103 sacks, and he did it in 169 games. It took Warren Sapp a lot longer to get just not even that many, 96 and a half. And he played in a passing league, whereas Karras played in a run first league. You know, that's the old NFL.
And I will tell you, he sacked Bart Starr 11 times in a single game. At Tiger Stadium, Briggs Field. I know members
it was before
of the Briggs
sacks
family.
Were an official stat. Too,
yeah, yeah, so. Yeah.
And if they were an official crazy. Stat, that would probably get brought up a lot more.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Well, now wait a minute. I that wasn't him by himself. That was him and the fearsome foursome along with him. That,
sure,
that was
sure,
Roger
sure.
Brown along with him too, doing that. Because now that might be the next one that could be getting in the senior list is Roger Brown. He was the first 300-pound guy to play in the NFL. And as a defensive tackle, he would be like the nose tackle next to Karras being a three technique. And between the two of them, they were just unbelievable. Plus the outside rushers. And now you know why they have Hall of Famers and linebacker, mm-hmm. Chuck Schmidt. Joe Schmidt, excuse me, not Chuck.
Yeah.
Joe Schmidt.
Different.
And three cornerbacks and a safety. All of them were Hall of Famers, and that's why it was so unreal that Alex Karras played in front of them. That caused them to all get them things, interceptions and whatnot, was the cause of that. Because the quarterback didn't have any time, man. He had to get rid of the ball. So, it was really a great moment, you know, to see that this morning.
Yeah,
and
no.
When he finally got it in.
Did either of you happen to see the, not Lions related, but Bill Cowher get surprised on the broadcast Sunday?
I missed him, but I saw Jimmy Johnson. I don't want to throw a wet blanket on this, but, man, there was a couple, three other coaches that I thought were as deserving, if not more so, you know, that were on that list. I'd have to say Tom Flores. I mean, he won two championships.
Right.
Cowher's only won one. And Buddy Parker, I think his name was, And he was the one that was the coach of the Lions back in the 50s that brought him 3 championships.
Sure.
If I remember right.
Yeah.
But, it is what it is.
The Cower thing was good because it was really emotional. His wife and daughter, they completely surprised him. They just dropped it on him in the studio, and he's like, "This isn't fair." I love it when you get a big tough guy like Cower, right? Yeah. And you get him all emotional. It was great. It was really great. It was a good. Sorry, let me pop that open. Really great moment. Interesting stuff to see. All right. So now I'm going to have to scratch off Alex Karras from the rest. Hold on. I'm scratching off Alex Karras from the schedule for later in the show because you just had to read ahead, Brendan.
Well, I'm sorry about that. But I've got a jersey with Mad Duck on it. Mm. Number 71, man.
Yeah.
I had it made special just for that. But maybe this is the year for the Lions finally.
Yeah.
Finally got Alex Karras in the,
that's what I'm telling you.
Hall of Fame. Lions are coaching the Senior Bowl.
The hype train starts here today now.
Hey, listen, I tell you what, this is probably the best the Lions have ever been in the organization in the kind of setup they've gotten off season. What with the high amount of money they got for a cap room.
And the number 2 draft pick.
And he's
3.
Yeah, they got a high draft pick. They don't need a quarterback like 3 other teams below them do,
right.
Which means they got a good shot at a trade down with a huge haul.
Yep.
I mean,
especially with all the good news coming out about Tua. So,
yes, and that too. Did you now, Chris? Did you see the article I sent you that was from the Dolphins wire guy?
I said the number 2 pick earlier. I meant the number 3 pick. My bad.
Yep. I did. Go on, though, Brennan.
Oh, he explained how good it'd be for the Dolphins to trade up and what the scenarios all were. And looking back, like what the Jets did, moving up 3 spots and a few others and what they would have to give up. And they said if they move up to the Lions, they aren't giving up all. They're not giving any of the first round picks, but they've got other picks down the road. And I thought, well, that'd be fine with us, man.
Yeah.
Well, and you've got the Chargers and Panthers both sitting there as potential teams that would also like to trade up. So you have a 3-run. Yeah,
that's the thing. I think that's the most exciting about the Lions right now, and this draft is that with Tua, like you said, Case coming in and really scrambling people's eggs. This is all of a sudden there's value with this number 3 pick. Chase Young's going to be gone. Joe Burrow's going to be gone. But there's going to be a lot of fighting for their next quarterback for teams that really, really need him. Mm-hmm. Miami obviously has the best kind of load of treasure that we could use immediately that they could trade. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why everyone's focusing that way, because look, this is the year. As you said, Brandon, you made a great point, played the funny music. This could very well be the setup, and I mentioned this part earlier, that the San Francisco 49ers had coming into this year. Injured quarterback.
Yep.
They got Bosa. A lot of things happened just right for them. Their cap was right to be able to do those things. We're sitting in exactly the same spot. I think we have some really, really good things heading our way with the right kind of moves. This could be a really, really exciting offseason. And if we wind up having a Niners kind of season, or even just win a playoff game next year, can you imagine there's two things that are going to happen. One, the all that negative stuff, and I know, Brandon, that stuff drives you over the moon, right? Just drives you nuts. All those negative folks and all that stuff, the flips on those takes are going to be hilarious, right? The extreme kind of people that's either on fire or we're in heaven. That's going to be crazy. And then you're going to have the other side of all the kind of bandwagon-y jumper-oners that kind of tend to make a different kind of frustration, right? But this is this sitting here right now, looking at what could possibly be is amazing. Now I'm going to tell you one thing that gives me pause. I don't know if anyone saw the Ragnow, the Frank Ragnow. He does the Grizzly Outdoorsman or something like that channel where he does all kinds of fun, cool stuff. I love watching him. I love watching football players in their natural habitat because they do some pretty cool, fun stuff, and they have the monetary ability to go out and really, really do that. He was going to go out ice fishing. And it was in his backyard. He's got a pond out in the back of his neighborhood or whatever. So he's walking there. He's like, I don't know about this. Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, I can hear cracking. Oh, no, that's okay. Okay, I feel confident. And as he got confident and started walking, he fell in. He was up to his waist.
Well, it's not. It has not been cold enough out this year. I've never been ice fishing, but I had a friend who was going to take me this year, and he just says it's probably not going to happen. It hasn't been cold enough.
So wow. He was up to his waist in the water, and the funny part about it is this is a sad thing, right? This can be really bad. He was the whole time he's talking about my nuts are freezing because the water. But every time he was trying to climb up onto the ice, it was breaking out from under him. Right. He was yep. literally stuck in the water.
Big boy trying to get up.
That's right. And that was a ripe situation for like a really bad situation. We've had players get hit by cars while they're mowing the lawn. Right. And that's exactly what I thought. And he was pizza, laughing.
Pizza
and, yeah. 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 Delivering pizza, broken arms or picking up pizza. He was laughing and he said, look, obviously this was stupid. Don't do this. And he's absolutely right. Don't ever anybody do that. Make sure you got good thick ice, all that kind of stuff. But I was like, this is the kind of thing that happens to the Lions. Oh my God, please, please, please do not do anything dumb. Any of you players, put yourselves in bubbles, go play video games and then go to the weight room and that's it. The right.
Truth, man. I've forgotten all about that. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm going to hit you up with one question. And I'll get out of here. So I don't take up your whole show. Mm-hmm. But all right. The case, you went through all the free agency possibilities. Obviously, if you know how the Lions work, and if you know how the Lions work, you usually get their best need and spend the best money on their biggest need in free agency, and then they use the draft as a supplement, guys, so that they can work in the long run, be starters over a period of time. So, which position do you think the Lions should spend the money on, because they've got big money on a defensive end, they got big money probably in Slay, and they got kind of big money in a corner, a slot corner, and not to even talk about offense yet, but of course, you know, Stafford's got his money, but which ain't huge, but where would you spend big money on for a free agent, so that you can just leave the draft to be anybody who's best player available, which is going to be an impact player no matter where they pick, even if it's three, even as low as it's six or seven, it doesn't matter. They're going to get a good player. I'll take next guy that with you guys, and I'll get out of here.
Wait, I want you really quick. Before, just tell us our next topic. Tell us about who we hired as defensive coordinator, and then you can go. Case will answer your question, and then you can kind of transition us forward, because you're doing really good at this.
Who, Unlin?
Yeah, say it. Come on.
There we go.
Yeah, just give me the headline. Just give me the headline that I can use to segue into that after he answers your question.
Unlin the man, I don't know. Get your underwear on.
Okay.
Put on your underwear.
Okay, fine, Brandon. I'm going to move you down the list of potential guests.
Difficult position.
At least
the back of a Volkswagen.
Landino can't say you. Take care, guys.
Yeah, you too, brother. Thanks a lot, man, for the call.
All right. No, actually, I'm glad he asked that question, because there is one guy that I didn't talk about. And if anybody is super familiar with this guy and knows that I'm off base on him, please let me know. He's a guy that I plan to look into significantly over the next few weeks. That is Corey Littleton, inside linebacker for the Los Angeles Rams. He had a phenomenal year for them. I think he would be an immediate upgrade. He is probably the only inside linebacker available this year. And there's it's hard to see the Rams being able to afford to bring him back. If they wanted to spend money in one spot, fix one problem, it's Corey Littleton. Yeah. And like I said, there's the opposite issue with him that there is with the pass rushers. There's only one of him out there.
Okay.
And so there's nobody else to drive up the price. And whether or not, and you'd think, you know, if there's only one guy out there like him, the price would be high because the supply is low. But that's just not always how it works in the NFL.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Okay, now I have to. I just wrote down. I moved Brandon down the list of potential future co-hosts because he didn't do it.
No, he was good. It was a good call.
He's always a great call. I love when he calls. All right. Yes, the Lions have a new defensive coordinator. If you have not heard and been living under a rock, his name is Corey Unlin. He's from the Eagles, and I have to say that the response has been comedic. Yeah. It's been a it's been interesting. Okay. And I find myself sometimes being emotional about the team. I think with time, some people say it's been sucked out of them. I just feel like it's the middle is the place to be, not too high, not too low, to quote Caldwell. Let's see what the data is. People were all about with Bevel, we're a run first team. How was Stafford's stats tracking on that, his passing stats
for his best season, at least in terms of pass rating, his best touchdown interception, his best yards per attempt.
It's even more amazing on a run first offense to do something like that. The offseason narratives and thinking is funny on this. I think Corey Unlin is an interesting hire. Is he a huge splash? Did we get ourselves, I don't know, Bill Belichick? No, we didn't get something like that. It was unexpected. It wasn't a name that people were bandying about. But I know one thing, I have talked about, you know, Jim Schwartz and how much I loved him as a defensive coordinator, and he's gonna be a head coach maybe if he moves. He wouldn't come here. But a guy working under him, under the successful defense that they had, despite numerous injuries, feels good. I'm going to do a little, you know, everyone was whelmed when we hired Bevel. And I have a feeling that being whelmed right now is probably the right thing rather than having a freak out either high or low. We got a caller, but go ahead, Case. I want to hear you.
Okay. So. I mean, you're right. I mean, there was a freak out moment because he was the Eagles secondary coach, and the Eagles secondary was not good this year. A couple things, like you mentioned, injuries happened. His best player on the field was a 7th round pick. So it's not like he was working with the high end of the talent that other guys were working with. So, it's not that I don't understand where the concern comes from, but then you have to look a little bit deeper. What has he done otherwise? And UCLA, the mock user on the subreddit, posted a link to his and it's just the PhiladelphiaEagles.com roster or coaching roster like bios. All you have to do is read through that coaching bio to realize that just because the Eagles were bad in the secondary this year doesn't mean that he's been bad historically as a coach. He was good in helping Malcolm Jenkins earn his first Pro Bowl nod, and I'm more or less just reading off of this bio. He was good in Denver, where they finished the regular season ranked 3rd in overall defense. While he was coaching the secondary there, he was coaching Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib and T.J. Ward, all three of whom went to the Pro Bowl that year. In 2013, they had major injuries and they still managed to get to the Super Bowl. He worked with, you know, he did great things in Denver the whole time he was there. He did good things with the Cleveland Browns while he was there. Yes. Okay. And I think we'll get into this, right? He did spend a year with Patricia in New England. Yeah.
All right. Let's pause right there really quick. Caller, we got you here really quick. Brandon came through in the chat and he said he finally figured out the headline for it. It's Lions Get Unlin Armor. I like that. That's good. We got Joe on the phone. Joe, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How you guys doing, Chris, Case?
Good, good. Thanks for holding out for us to get through our rambling.
They spent 1 year together, but apparently they're best friends, man.
It's all buddy hires. I'm going to talk about that. We got to do this again and move
something up the schedule here on your sheet, Chris, because
he's getting to it. Everyone wants to pull ahead our topics. They're good topics, I guess that means. Just too late. Yeah. Oh man, what do you got for us, brother?
Oh, so I just wanted to bring up a little draft scenario for you guys.
All right. I love All right. scenarios.
Day April comes around. Tua does his little
That's what we hope it does.
Yep. Yep. Tua runs his little performance, runs a 4.4, 4.5 40.
Mm-hmm.
Throws the ball 80 yards down the field, has an amazing arm,
mm-hmm.
and just wows the Lions. What
I did not know you were going that direction point? With this.
Wow.
We really hope somebody trades up to the number two spot so we get Chase Young.
It's three again, Case.
Let's face it, guys. The RPO is going to be the future of the NFL.
Oh, I don't agree. These things ebb and flow all the time. These things ebb and flow. We've heard this before.
I mean,
this is not the first time we've heard this. These guys don't last. These guys don't last, man.
Look at how many teams are having success with the Case.
How many teams?
I mean, I would say.
Sorry, I'm putting you. But I mean, Patrick Mahomes is primarily a pocket passer. I mean, he can run, but
I would disagree with that, Case. I mean, he's good in the pocket, but his legs give him a whole
scrambles,
other dimension.
He scrambles great, but I mean, he scrambles in the same way that like an Aaron Rodgers scrambles.
Exactly,
not like a Lamar Jackson scrambles.
He's not. Oh God, how can I not pull his name out of my head? The dog fighting quarterback, Randall Cunningham, and then this guy. He was a VT, and they played for Atlanta. Come on,
I'm not trying to shut you down, but that's just like
no, I understand.
My opinion is just that these things ebb and flow, and we're seeing a high on the RPO thing. I get that, but I don't know that's the wave of the future. So I think that's just the wave of the moment.
I was going in a little different direction, but there's a couple of scenarios that I can see the Lions taking or doing. First scenario, the draft comes around. Tua does awesome, impresses everybody. The Redskins are like, hey, we're going to move on from Dwayne Haskins, get a little draft capital for him, trade him to another team, and we're going to draft him. Lions get Chase Young at 3.
I could see
that's
the happening.
First thing that I could see happening.
I buy that scenario.
And Joe, I would say that absolutely the Lions would keep 3 to get Chase Young. I think Chase Young is such a generational talent that you don't pass on Chase Young. You don't pass on Joe Burrow. Anything after that, the Lions look to trade. So no, I think that's a decent scenario. Vic, thank you, Jeremy. Michael Vic was the guy I was talking about. This and Randall Cunningham. Those guys were run first, pure running quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers are pocket passers, but they are mobile as hell and they build that mobility into their offense. So
100%. I didn't mean to.
And those are perfect guys.
I called him a pocket passer.
Yeah, an RPO kind of thing.
You could bring up. You could bring up the Bills. I mean, I know that Josh Allen has. And he's got a good arm, but he has no accuracy at all. And then you got the Ravens as well, like you were talking about. I mean, those are all RPO teams.
I think we're buying the outlier. I think that's premature. Personally, I think that's premature.
Okay. Now, what I'll say is the RPO is a very, very sound piece of any offense with the right kind of player. Taysom Hill. Right. Look how you rotate a guy like that in the Saints offense and what he can do. I think it's a way to utilize weapons and to change things up and to give your team different options on offense. So I wouldn't completely dismiss it outright. It expands and widens your availability of plays, makes it more difficult for the defense.
Defenses are going to have to get more versatile. Because I do think more teams will attempt to go. Run pass option heavy, at least in the very near future. So I do think it's going to cause some problems, but I still think that there's room, of room for the majority of the teams to still be.
If you can integrate it into your toolbox as a team, right? Because right now the real problem for teams is that the defensive players are so much more athletic and have such an advantage over the offensive line. I'm talking about the line players, right? that you need something different to help yourself on offense be effective against the physicality and the athleticism of those defensive line players. An RPO as a tool in your toolbox is part of an overall offensive scheme, not as the sole reliant piece, obviously, is a real great way for an offense to now force the defense to have a more and different kind of athleticism and help take a little bit of pressure away and allow you to do different things. So I think, Joe, you're right that it's a component of offenses in the future. And as the game rolls and changes, I think this is something that for the next 5, 8, 10 years, we're going to see offenses that either do something like the Saints did with Taysom Hill, or that have quarterbacks like a Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Patrick Mahomes winds up being like the perfect guy for that scheme because he has all of those talents. But if you can, if we're already thinking about rotational offensive line guys, I can see rotational quarterbacks. Look at Trevor Lawrence. What's he going to bring to a team in the NFL next year when he comes in the draft, right? He's going to bring the ability to pass. He's not Drew Brees passer, but he's definitely he can pass. He's a passing threat from no questions asked, and he's an absolute running threat, right? I think this talent level it gives credence to what you're saying, Jay. I wouldn't dismiss that out of hand at all.
I mean, Joe Burrow is going to be the same type of player.
He could be. He very well could be
RPO type player.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would bring up what happened to the Ravens.
Okay.
I would bring up what happened to the Ravens against the Titans as like,
how the hell did that happen?
Well, they had a blueprint. Yeah. they figured it out.
And
I mean, they had the talent. You have to have the talent to, you know, pull it off. But they had the blueprint.
No, I mean, that's an any given Sunday type of game.
No, right, and there, I won't argue with that at all.
Lamar Jackson didn't play his best game. His wide receivers had a lot of drops. I mean, when you're chasing. When you're chasing the other team by that much down, and then you got the refrigerator freaking Derrick Henry running the ball.
He is unbelievable clock, human being. You know? But
No, that was an interesting game. The problem, and this is what makes it so fun to talk about football. You know, with baseball, you've got so much data and so many statistics and so much to work with to figure things out. Football, there's just not enough data to be able to do that. So it leaves you so much to speculate and think about and try to put scenarios together. That's, I think, what makes it so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, if they were playing a best of three or best of five, I would still take Baltimore come away with it. But it's so just all I'm suggesting by that is that, like, there are ways to shut it down. And as teams get more savvy to it, you know, that's what I mean by the ebb and flow. Just because it's been successful taking the league by storm in a bubble here, doesn't mean, in my eyes personally, that automatically makes, you know, a guy like Stafford obsolete or something. You know, not suggesting that's what you were saying either, but
let me go back to Joe, because Joe was making a couple of scenarios available. I want to let him hear him out here. So the idea, you know, right, Tua scrambles some people's eggs here in the draft, that's for sure. I don't think the Lions take him, though.
Lions,
I just don't.
Lions take him. You know, trade Stafford, get a first round pick from another team, whatever, and we start the rebuild. Draft scenario number two, which I think that we trade back to the Chargers spot and Chargers pick up Tua.
I think is plausible.
The New York Giants probably taking Okuda.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Miami Dolphins obviously drafting another quarterback. I don't know who they would draft, but then we would have our RPO stopper, Isaiah Simmons, at number six.
I mean, that'd be great value for Simmons.
And I'm already
looking at him as a potential pick at number three as it stands.
And
where we are,
so. I have to throw another name up there. It came up last week, and the more I thought about it, Caller had it, and I forget the caller's name. I apologize. He brought up Jerry Jeudy. This is a guy that is another generational kind of team-changing talent. You put Jeudy and you put Galladay, and we'll see what happens with Marvin Jones. It's a whole other ball of wax out there. As much as we need defense, I don't want to just completely throw that idea out the window. As I think about it more and more, he is absolutely a massive, exceptional talent.
Sorry.
So
miss me.
I know, Chris, but look what happened to us against the Vikings. Look what happened to us against the first Vikings game. We had a bunch of offensive power. Mm-hmm. It was a high-scoring game, but our defense could not stop. We must
absolutely no. Don't take me the wrong way.
You're gonna have a real hard time convincing me to get on board with a wide receiver.
Yeah, no. I get it. I trust me. I get the stigma. I get everything about it. But when you are if you're trading back to five or starting to watch your players go away, right? If you wind up trading Carolina, they may want a quarterback. Right, you're back at seven now. You're looking at a place there where you could certainly see something like that happen, and you start picking up your defensive players with your extra second rounds and third round picks. Defense is a little deep this year. There's a lot that goes into it. I'm not saying that this is what I'm hoping for, right? But I'm saying that this is a plausible scenario for us to see, and I don't want people to be completely taken off guard and taken by surprise by the idea that we wind up in a place where, hey, we could get a good talent right now or a slight fall off with our next pick that we have at that same position and take a generational talent at wide receiver. So just I don't want people to be freaked out if that happens, because I think it is a plausible scenario if we trade back to the right spot.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I think Stafford can command the offense. I'm not worried about our offense at this point. Once Stafford comes back, I think that we'll be a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Bo Scarborough in the backfield with Kerryon.
Mm-hmm.
Bo's kind of like that power back that kind of gives us that Derrick Henry type feel at times.
Yeah.
He might not be as big, but he can still truck people, which is what we need.
Yeah.
Someone that can truck people and fall. Two yards forward.
I'm not overly concerned with our running back room. I mean, I think they'll go ahead and add a piece to it. But, I mean, Kerryon, when healthy, obviously, is very good.
Yeah.
Bo certainly showed us what he's got. McKissick also, you know, is he does everything that Theo did. So, like,
both Bo and Kerryon are
I mean, they'll add another
from
piece.
Injury perspective, though,
right? Right. Well, they'll add another piece for that reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah. You don't have to spend a great deal of capital to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I just want to bring up that my last point is I think that we're all fools if we think that Miami's going to give us one of their first round picks to trade up two spots.
No, I agree.
Because
I think
they know that they have the upper hand at this point. Mm-hmm. They know that the Lions don't need a quarterback, and they know that the Giants don't need a quarterback.
Their fear is going to be that somebody else, like the Chargers, do need a quarterback. And so, the fear is the driver.
The Chargers or the Panthers.
Right.
You got both of those teams right behind the Dolphins.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
A push, but
the Chargers
would be
our trade partners, if anybody.
Right. And I don't say that to disagree with you. I don't think we're getting both of their first round picks. We'll get their fifth pick, right? Obviously. I think we'll get another second out of them, and I'm fine with that, right? Because what we've seen,
maybe a second.
We need to see Bob Quinn's draft record in the second improve. So let's take two shots and see if we can get a 50-50 out of it this year. I'm being snarky. I'm sorry.
We should just trade out of the second round into the third round, get two third round picks, and he'll light it up.
There you go. All right, hey Joe, I'm going to let you go,
Chris,
man.
Personal question. Yeah. Personal question. Are you going to be doing the donation thing again next this year, or
St. Jude thing?
St. Jude's, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We will. That was so cool last year. It felt great. We're gonna fire that up. We were thinking of trying to fire it up and make the appearance at the combine with Rich Eisen. We were also talking with Dean Blandino about tying together with his show and doing a dual raise and doing a little bit of a competition kind of a thing. The thing with Dean is still on. The problem is I got some on the back end, the real life stuff and job stuff going on where we just couldn't put together something to make sure that I was absolutely going to be at the combine to do that thing. So we may launch it again after the combine, do it kind of very similar to last year. Though the prizes this year, I think, are going to blow people's socks off. There's some really, really amazing stuff that we have in the works to help kind of raise some money for St. Jude this year.
All right, awesome, guys. God bless you guys, like always, and have a good night, man.
All right, Joe. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. All right. Awesome. Good call. Good call. All right. So we kind of talked ahead. Let's move into it. We're going a lot longer than thought we would. Sorry, audio people who aren't watching it on YouTube. it's late and I'm going to have to edit this tomorrow because I had an early day at work. All right. I want to talk a little bit about kind of the world of social media and the stuff that people are posting. And I want to do it a little bit differently. It's come up in the chat, in the Slack. It's funny. The guys have, again, the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. The guys in there have picked out articles either on Reddit or on Twitter and things that people have written and said, get this person in the Slack chat pronto, right? It's like, what's going on? And they're finding the gems amongst, you know, the diamonds in the rough of the really, really good content that people are creating. And I wanted to take a minute for us to kind of highlight that, especially as we think about Corey Unlin coming over. That was a great, a great way to an opportunity to kind of see what people are doing. There is an absolutely fabulous post in Reddit in the DetroitLions.reddit.com subreddit. I want you guys to check this out. Okay. It's called Philadelphia Secondary Performance 2018 versus 2019. It's by Phonetic Progressive is his name. It's spelled differently than you're going to think. So just maybe search the name. Had a lot of upvotes. It was absolutely fabulous. He does a first thing he starts out with is some statistics about average depth of target against the Eagles defense. It talks about the completion percentages. And I'm not going to ruin it for you, but I am going to give you the TLDR on this. The defensive line and linebackers were the problem in Philly, not the backfield. Unlin is getting a lot of shit, and it's quite unfair. That's the, you know, too long didn't read. I recommend you guys go check that out and read that because it's an absolutely high quality piece of content that someone put together for Reddit. This is the kind of stuff I remember this case when we started this podcast.
When I had high quality content, I remember that too.
Let's not make it about you. Okay. I used to remember when you'd show up for the podcast. Long time ago. There used to be a lot of this kind of stuff. I'm looking right now. Wow, I got to screenshot this. We're at 74,000 users in the subreddit now. When we started, we were at 9. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. I think it's good that it's grown. I think it's good. And I think if evolution is important, but I think one of the key pieces is starting to go away a little bit is that real good football stuff. And Phonetic Progressive here did a real good analysis. It came back a lot of good comments in there. I want to come back to one from Stealth Blaumer. he's a Detroit resident, but a Philly native, and he's talking about it. Basically, his TLDR is defensive line and linebackers were part of the problem in Philly. He said the profound number of injuries caused the problem. Unlin is a good coach, and the numbers back it up. And so here we are seeing quality content, and you could disagree with the numbers or the interpretation or whatever, but this isn't the knee jerk, you know, man, secondary, you know, so much of that we saw out there from people when they named this, and it was just like, God, you people are so angry. Let's look at this in a sense of what does it really mean rather than just react. Everything, you know, be the first to react. That's what it seems like today. Let's think about things and come back with a thoughtful response based on some data and back it up that way. So I just wanted to give him a lot of credit. And again, I recommend you folks go check that out in the subreddit. It is a great, great article and well worth highlighting for folks who are looking for good content. We've talked about it. One of the, two actually of our friends in the Patreon Slack had come on and talked about how great the chat was and the talk was compared to some of the other silly stuff going on in the last show of the live show of the season. And I just want to make sure that we highlight that there are other great places that have stuff as well. It's a little harder to find, but when those people do it, I think they deserve a little bit of reward for putting good content together, unlike Case. But you had one you liked too, Case, in the Reddit.
Well, yeah, right? And I already brought it up. We already went through that guy. But
do you remember who it was that posted it?
You see, yeah, I already did this.
Did you say his name? Did you say his name?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
UCLA the Mock. All right. No, but this is maybe a bit hyperbolic, but it does feel sometimes like short of cloning Bill Belichick and hiring like him for every position, coach and head coach position, that there's no possible way that you can hire somebody in Detroit and not have outrage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really something. It's very reactive.
It feels that way, and maybe, like I said, I'm being maybe a little hyperbolic, but it does just it almost doesn't matter who it is. People are going to find the worst thing about them, the worst year they had as a coach, the worst anything, and
let me pull out another
make
one.
That the thing that they take away from the situation.
Yeah. I want to pull out another one from Twitter. This guy, and check him out, at Kenny G Season, S-Z-N, right? At Kenny G S-Z-N on Twitter. He had a really, really good one. And again, it's against, and it's not that I am a contrarian many times, but I'm not just saying this because to drive against the narrative, but I think this is somebody who's gone and found the data and used it to back up what he's saying. I'm gonna paraphrase a lot of this because there's words here. It was a thread on Twitter, about three or four tweets, I think. Basically, for those who enjoy the lazy take of Matt Patricia hiring guys from the Patriots because they're friends, he went through a bunch of assistants and did the research on, you know, how much time they've worked together prior to Detroit. With Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia. So we say quarterback coach came from Texans, never worked with them. Running back coach from the Bengals, never worked with them. Wide receiver coach, Boise State, no connections found. Offensive coordinator, Seattle, none. Defensive line coach from Alabama, none. DC from Philly, there was 1 year they worked together in 2004. Special teams coordinator.
15 years ago.
Yeah. Special teams coordinator, Bengals, no connections found. OL coach, UCLA, none. Offensive line assistant, zero's coach, 6 years of player, defensive coordinator, right? It's another Boston College, 3 years as a superior. So coaches, Matt Patricia's been a coach for 19 years. And interestingly, you do come across different people in your 10 years in a business of 10, 19 years.
Sounds like some people would just rather that he doesn't hire anybody he's ever had contact,
right.
Which is, you know, me.
So between 10 assistants, they combined to have worked with him for 6 years as a player and 4 years as a coach. That's split between two guys, right, and the players, right, one guy. And I just want to use this finishing line. I don't want to insult our listeners, right? So it's just the kind of gestalt that's out there. Oh, that's just three shows in a row I said that word. I've got to remove it now. He says, keep spewing your crap because you want to complain. You look dumb. And I think that's kind of it. The people freaking out about the whole friend hire thing. You're wrong. Please just stop. It's not based in anything. Please go look it up. Just look it up and just confirm that what you're saying is real. That's the first step. And if you do that, you'll start looking for other data and you'll start really creating great content that people love. People like us love, right? We love to see real good, thoughtful stuff. The knee-jerk reaction stuff, it's basically a meme on its own, right?
Just to further this point, GoalieDude3919 on the sub, I had a post to all people calling Unlin a friend hire. Okay, so yeah, he brings up the 15 years ago. At that point, Patricia was an offensive assistant.
Yeah.
When Unlin was a defensive coaching assistant. That's not like they probably met. But right. I mean, come on. Come on, guys. Yeah. Seriously. Like if you think that amount that is tantamount to nepotism, you've got issues.
You got better stuff than I do. All right. Hey, let's check in. We got a caller here. Caller, why are you calling us and making us broadcast for so long?
Hey, it's Jalen again. I was on last week.
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Hey, I just want to, if we're complaining about people in the sub, I just want to talk about.
I hate doing that. You know, it was funny because I was telling Case when we started, I don't want to complain about people. I want to highlight people doing good stuff.
Well, we did. We
inspire
a few people
to do good stuff, not be the bitchy people that were bitching about bitchy people, right? I mean, it becomes like a big swirl down the bowl.
Get it off your chest. Get it off your chest.
I'm just tired of the narrative that they Patricia hired a yes man. Like, we don't even know what Mr. Unlin is going to do for the defense. We don't know if he's going to be drawing up like coverages. We don't know. Like, we don't know anything about it, honestly. And
we should
there's
be
just
mad.
So much arrogance in the sub saying that, oh, it's Patricia's defense. he just hired a yes man. He's just going to be doing nothing on the side. Like, we don't know anything. And the only thing we can really do is sit and wait. Like, if we,
yeah,
suck,
that's exactly
we suck,
what I was going to say.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good.
Yeah. You all know. You all know that I love to sit on my thumbs and, you know, twiddle them
and ride the
as
fence
as hard as I can.
Paint that fence brown as you straddle your way down. Yeah,
no. I will pass judgment on this man when I have seen what he brings to the team.
Yeah. No. You're right.
Like you said, we thought Bevel until probably 2-3 weeks in, we thought it was going to be run first offense, and people on the subreddit complained about it all offseason. Then, like you said, Stafford charted like crazy until he got hurt. So we don't know anything. I would rather talk about speculation on what we think rather than just having a very pessimistic, like, Lions fans have a same old Lions fan problem. As much as they talk about the team, like,
And I can't, you're right. And I dislike it. I'm naturally an optimistic person, right? So I don't want to call it a failure, but I have to kind of check that as we think about this. I want to stay very middle, again, not too high, not too low, but
I've rubbed off on you too many times.
Okay. Don't tell me that. I'm now disgusted.
You were there. You know.
I almost. Oh man. Not willingly.
Let it happen, Chris. You let it happen.
I will never sleep again. The idea is that there's a certain thing that the Lions need to win to stop that. Right. I totally get. And this is something we were talking about in the sub too. You, as a fan of a team, you have kind of an arc. Right. And with Lions fans in particular, because of the extended period with a lack of success, you see people get in it. They get the hope. They feel good. They rise up. They're like, I believe. And then they start getting the cynical side. And then they become, look, everybody knows Uncle Eddie. Uncle Eddie's the guy that says, Ford's got to sell the team, never win till the Fords are gone, right? Because they have no more explanations after all this time of being a fan. Why does everybody have an Uncle Eddie? Because everybody knows that old person or older person that's gone through that arc of fandom and just hasn't felt the success of the team. And the arc right now with a team that goes this long is you wind up in that cynical place. You want to get rid of same old Lions fans. You got to win.
No, I agree. Oh, yeah.
And that's, I think, the problem. I can complain about them and feel, you know, frustrated by that stuff. But I get it. I know where it comes from and why it comes from there. People live and die. Every one of these same old Lions person at one point had lived and died by the Lions. I really believe that they have had their
it's even funnier
soul
because,
invested.
Like, in the sub, after like probably like a week or two before the season started, people were talking about, oh, the Lions aren't getting any national respect. Yeah, because they haven't won anything. Like, I'm with you. Like, I'm in the middle. Like,
the outrage about the lack of respect thing has worn thin on me over the years.
Yeah. Oh my God, you talk about the lack of respect, and then next thing you know, they're 3-4-1. Like, of course not.
and then there's the
they were right
minority who believes that every game is rigged against us, and then watch what happened with the Tennessee Titans happen this year. Like, you really think that if the league was as rigged as you think it is, that the Tennessee Titans would have beaten the Ravens this year?
Yeah, it was rigged for the Titans. They wanted somebody else to come in.
Right. Right.
Wait, hold on. I got music for that, right?
But I'll let you guys go. I don't want to.
No. Okay, cool, man. I appreciate it. Good call. Appreciate it, man.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. All right. We'll talk to you, bro. All right. So, yeah, there's a lot of good content out there. I wanted to say hey to those people and give them a good shout out and our love for doing that because, as I said, anyone can get to the same Alliance place. You can get there and be there and do that. And I understand why you're there. But for us, you know, reporting on the team, watching the team, covering the team, that kind of thing, that's no place to be. You know, being where Carlos is no place to be for a reporter. It's great for clicks, but that's not what we're after. I mean, of course we're after clicks, but we're not going to do it artificially. We've, from the beginning, tried to be honest and real in what we do. So we appreciate people who maybe stay outside of the crazy zones on either end and kind of focus on what does the data tell us and where is this team at? And that's what we're going to try to do for you. By doing that, you can support that and support us doing that. You know how? You go to fanatics.detroitlions.com. Why would you do that? Because you want to get yourself that Lions jersey, because you're not a same old Lions person. Or if you want to get a Lions jersey to burn, because you are a same old Lions person, support the podcast. They kick back a little money every time you do that. You just go to fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com, or you can use the link on the website. Take you over there, set a little cookie on your browser, and they say, you know what? We're not keeping all the profits. We're giving it to Chris and Case, because those are the coolest guys on the internet. So help out the show by doing something you're going to do anyway. Any kind of, not just Lions, any kind of sports gear, any team, any sport, college, professional, it doesn't matter. Fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. Thank you all for supporting us by using that link. All right. I think we want to talk about the Senior Bowl a little bit. We've done some chat about the free agency. We've done a little bit of draft chat. We had a Tua talk. People are still milking, and that's the thing that gets me. The idea for a little, like for a hot minute, right? There's this idea that we're going to take Tua at three. Ah! And then there's a couple people still holding on to it, but that was quickly quashed. People are still milking that as a story these days. It kills me that they would even, it's like, come on guys, it's like saying, you know, your eyebrows are on fleek today. Get with it's 2020. Get with us, okay? All right, anyway, I want to talk a little bit about the Senior Bowl, because a couple people have mentioned it in the chat. We've got this sweet banner back there, big banner that's going to go up behind us on Radio Row. We have a ton of interviews coming your way from the Senior Bowl. We will be there live. It's going to be Riz, Sandman, and myself. Case, unfortunately, is a hard working man in the 70s porn circuit, so he's got to do his he's got to stay there in the studio and get some humping done. But you guys gotta watch YouTube, the audio people, you got to at least check it out, because you can see some of the visual jokes that we got going on now. But yeah, we'll be down there. We've got a whole number of Lions staff that we've got on docket for interviews. We've made requests and are lining those up. Players from the Senior Bowl, whole number of them, and they rotate down Radio Row through the whole time. We are there. You know, Sirius XM is going to be there. We're there too, and we're your favorite guys. We're going to give you that Lions viewpoint on how that works. Again, Riz, myself, Sandman on the scene, giving you the live stuff. We will also have the sweet cameras and give you guys some real high quality stuff of all those interviews. We're going to broadcast those live on the YouTube. So we're not going to be able to do announcements, because the schedule is going to be a little bit flexible, a little bit in flux. So while we're there, if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, make sure you hit the bell, because that's going to tell you when we go live, and you'll see Patricia. If we get the Patricia interview, we're talking about Bob Quinn. We're talking about the whole slew of Lions coaches, and as well, of course, a number of players as well. But we're going to have some great draft data, some great team data and information for you throughout the week as we do our interviews. It's going to be some really, really good stuff. And it's stuff that you're going to want to kind of pocket and think about as the draft goes on. This is going to be a great Senior Bowl for Detroit. It's going to have the best coverage that you've seen just yet. So make sure, get subscribed, let it know, and we're going to go crazy with the videos. Like I said, they're going to pop on throughout the day at, you know, unannounced times. It's just going to be boom, we showed up with someone big, and you're going to want to know that we're doing that. So Senior Bowl coverage starting next week. Case woke up in time so that we could get this podcast done this week, and I can start packing all the equipment, because it's a lot to haul. I can't wait. I'm really excited. Case, we've got to get you down there next year. We've really got to get you some freedom. And I know. Living and eating is important, too. Fine. We'll do this sometime. All right. Let's talk about important dates in the NFL. We hit a couple last week, but let's not forget the Shrine Bowl this weekend. No longer the Shrine Game. I'll be there. I'll be doing some coverage. I'll be in the NFL suite. I'm going to see if I can get the NFL Network talent to do a quick hey for us. If not, we'll still have coverage from up there. Look at some of the players down there. Also, then the Senior Bowl all next week. We'll be on site. Radio Row will be down there. We've got a couple of video cameras working. We're going to do some definitely super 4K high def stuff for you guys. A lot of video that we'll be able to use going all the way through to the draft process. So good stuff there. Great coverage. Also, you have the Scouting Combine February 24th through the 2nd. Free agency begins on March 18th. Remember, the 16th through the 18th, they can begin negotiations with those players who will be unrestricted free agents. And March 29th through April 1st is the league meeting in Palm Beach. Do you want to do that one, Case? It's close to Key West. You could drop in for the meeting and then cruise down to your happy place. Is that
like the week they have all the elderly nude people in Key West?
No, that's New Year's Eve with the big stiletto drop, but that is that. The 29th of March through April 1st is, April 23rd to the 25th, the NFL draft in Lost Wages. Going to be a good time. We will do our live shows again. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have great coverage. We'll have, again, every year we up the ante, we bring more. We will do that again. And you can take part in some great stuff. We will have our draft party. So be there May 1st through the 11th. There will be 2 3-day rookie mini camps that happen in that period, and they have to get scheduled. But all teams have that opportunity. So those are the dates coming up between now and the beginning of May. What's the one that you're most excited for, Case?
Well, I mean, my two off-season dates are always the opening day of free agency and the first day of the draft. Like, those are just, I mean, I don't think anything beats either of those for me. So now, having said that, and planning, at least at this point, to be going down to, to Detroit, again in, you know, July, August, whenever.
Training camp live party time?
I got to play it by ear, but I mean, but hey, I'm certainly planning on it. So
it was a good time, right?
I'll show you a good time.
I don't think you will. I really don't think you will. Okay, cool. Sounds like fun. SeatGeek, you want to get any tickets to anything? It's not just sports, it's everything. Tix, TIX.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Use that, help us out. Same thing as the other ones. It's a great link. They give us a kickback. Tix, TIX.SeatGeek.com. And use that Lions promo code. You get $10 off your first purchase. Lions, LIONS. Anytime you buy your tickets, and you'll get those $10 off. It's a good deal. All right, Case, was there anything else that we want to talk about? Did we get through everything?
I think we got through everything, but boy, I am woof.
In a short hour and a half? I mean, that was it.
Was it really only an hour and a half? Felt like a lot longer.
It is a little longer than an hour and a half. I should grow my beard back. Yeah, I've thought about it. I had to kill it for work, but like I said, there's a change in the air.
There's a lot of salt with that pepper.
Yeah. Well, I was humming the Just for Men tune to myself.
I just learned. Okay, here's a little random piece of trivia that is about as useless as it could possibly be. The dude who wrote the theme song to St. Elmo's Fire also wrote the Gillette, "The Best a Man Can Get" song from the old Gillette commercials.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't care.
See, I told you, it's about the most useless trivia fact this is I have Case ever is come up with.
Deep knowledge. See, that's where you dive deep in the deep pool with Case. Someone, T-Bracket, great point. This should be our very best draft. I get it, man. I am with you. This is really, really, thank you about the age for before beauty comment. I need more of that in my life. This is, I mean, obviously we know it is a must-win year. The ultimatum's been given to Bob Quinn and essentially Matt Patricia as well. This is going to be one of the most interesting drafts for the Lions in a long time. The real possibility, you know, people always remember last year, we should trade down. You don't just get to. Right. You don't just get to decide that on your own. Someone has to want to trade up. But holy cow, the real ability to trade down. Draft day is going to be exciting. I mean, so and I don't want, again, I just want to put this out there. I don't want people to freak out, but I don't want them to be surprised. What if you saw the Lions trade down twice to pick up a whole number of picks, first round and second round?
Well, you know, I'm with that.
Yeah. Just don't. This is going to be an amazing draft to watch. This is going to be great. Ryan has got great stuff here. Case, I can smell your mom's milk on your breath. Thank you very much. I hate the hits on me, but I gotta tell you, I love the hits on Case. So if I would have solicited, anyway, no, that's it. I think guys, thanks all in the chat. Audio listeners on the podcast, thank you so much. This is obviously always going to be an audio first stuff, but the video component brings us something a little extra that we can do and have fun with. So please don't feel left out. If you do, you can check it out on the YouTube as well and have fun with us in that way. But we will never forget or leave our audio folks behind. You're all good people. All right, remember, the show needs your involvement. This is going to be the end for the week. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. It helps us stay number one. Remember, also, don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. People have called in. I didn't pay them. They were paying me to come on and say that. It's the most intelligent chat on the internet. I appreciate them now more than I have ever. It's been a great place to hang out and talk Lions. And we have other stuff. We now have a beer channel. We have a barbecue channel. There's all kinds of other stuff that you can focus on. But the Lions chat is absolutely fabulous. A really bunch of great people. And I got to call them out. I also just, as a result of some conversations today, I have to say we're reporting live from the Wisco Boiler Studio. There we go. Okay. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Join the best Instagram account that has never posted a single thing. That's Detroit Lions Podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at @DETLionsPodcast. DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see Case.
Swiping right.
Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. Call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. And of course, go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast so we roll up into your ears automatically. Quick question, what's a Slack? Slack is an application. It's like a chat room, but it's kind of controlled who's in and who's out. Just to refer back to the people from the chat. It's a great place to hang out.
Use it, things like that.
Yep. Great place to go to have chats, and it's a really, really good application. It's also at slack.com. There you go. Jeremy's laughing, Wisco. All right, thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
5 seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.